And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start of their day. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Cardinals. Joe Rexroad, I think I know the answer, but how are you? What's going on?
Roar!
If you're looking at our video feed right now, it's just nothing but Rexroad's old Detroit Tigers shirt and the logo in the stream right now. It's beautiful.
Okay, that's all I could hold it. That's all I could hold it. Yes, I'm doing awesome. I'm celebrating the Tigers' huge win. I'm acting like I was there with them all along. I'm making fun of Guardians fans, including people I have multiple in-laws who are huge Guardians fans. So talking trash to them, talking trash on social media, even though I completely abandoned the Tigers and am a terrible fan, but I don't care.
You had absolutely zero faith. None whatsoever, but they pulled it off, baby. They get the win against the Guardians.
That's for you, Phil. That's for you, Grandma Pratt. That's for you. Grandma Pratt.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to say, man. I got to say, did not like the inning where all of a sudden it just the whole thing just exploded. It was just like, is this really happening right now? and then Stilley actually texted me. He texted me like, how you feeling? I'm like, I'm feeling like we're about to blow a 5-run lead. Leave me alone. and then we had Will Vest, just drops one at first. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? But we won because we are a team.
Yes.
We stuck together. Yay, us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is kind of a victory for me, too. I've adopted the Tigers. Everybody's rooting for the Tigers around here. What's that set up? The Mariners? Seattle? You're next, baby. You're on the
That's
list.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Good night, big dumper. That's right. What I hope we're saying.
I wouldn't pitch to him, but everybody else, you're fine. You pitch to everybody else.
That's right. Good night, moon. Good night, ass. Good night, big dumper.
Got several texts about the outstanding end to our program yesterday. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody, and fall break, I suppose, coming up. So looking forward to a fun weekend of football and fun weekend with the fam home next week.
Absolutely. It is fall break right around the corner. Rex Road, I guess the only thing that would have made the Tigers' victory sweeter yesterday for you would be if the Yankees would have lost to the Red Sox last night. That did not happen. The Yankees win 4-0 against the Red Sox. So the Tigers, the Cubs, and the Yankees all advancing yesterday. But you, you got halfway towards your perfect day yesterday. Had the Tigers won and the Yankees lost, you would have been insufferable, and Kuharski, I'm sure, would have received several text messages. Rex Road's first mute of the day. Took him 4 minutes. First mute of the day.
I mean, that had to have been an inadvertent mute. That's weird. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, well, I sent him, this awesome – here you can see the awesome Tigers logo right here.
That's good.
That I was sending this around that my brother-in-law sent, but he responded, I remember when first round wins were a proud moment for my team. Oh wait, no, I don't. And then I
was well, that's like, funny because he started tweeting about his first round win last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I was asleep before they won the game. And so I wake up to this text.
Ho hum, an ALDS doesn't mean anything much either unless we win it. Cute that it's big for you.
Shut up, Kuharski.
If you could hand draw a Kuharski text message, that would be it. But yeah, I mean, he tweeted last night at 9:45, quote, a real shame about Boston. There he is, throwing some shade at the Red Sox.
All right, I respect it. I mean, I tweeted about the Guardians' awesome division-winning banner ceremony next year. It's going to be so awesome. I got to say, like, in all seriousness, that Guardians team, they batted .226 this year, which is the worst in franchise history. They're bad. Like,
yeah.
They're bad. That's the thing. The whole thing, I'm sitting there like, how could we freaking lose to these guys? How do we lose a division, and how could we possibly lose? So, thank goodness. Now they can go back to bitching about their ownership.
Well, it's all worth it now. All the, you know, blowing the lead in September, it's all worth it now.
Well, it is funny because Tony Paul, buddy of mine who covers the Tigers, he tweeted out, they have four wins since September 15th. Two of them have resulted in champagne, you know, celebrations. But I will say, see, this is where if you have an ace, so now Skubal can go in game two, and he can go if needed in a game five.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, like it's kind of like, can you figure out another win in there, you know? So yeah, that's where the power of having an ace is. And that's honestly the biggest thing for me in all seriousness is just getting more chances to watch him pitch in these moments because he is absurd.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And so the NLDS, you got the Cubs and the Brewers on one side of the thing. Nice little rivalry there. Then the Dodgers and the Phillies. So that'll be fun. You know, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I've got extreme Dodgers fatigue, so I'm rooting for the Phillies in that one. So we'll see what happens on that front. AL, Yankees, Blue Jays, Tigers, Mariners. So that's the setup that we've got in the baseball playoffs right now. But big time for the program. The Tigers get it done. They win. And Robbie and Rex Rhodes' team advancing on in the Major League Baseball playoffs. It did lead to a fascinating idea that you put on the on the grid here. What sports team makes you irrational and why? The Tigers, definitely your answer. Is that the only one that you got left that really just makes you irrational at this point?
It really is. It really is. It's hard to explain why that would be. Like with, you know, I was a huge Pistons and Red Wings fan growing up. It's hard to explain why that would be. But I want them to do well, but I'll never have the, I guess, you know, it's like you say that and it's like maybe one of them puts together an incredible team or, you know, and you get more into it, I guess. But I don't think so. I just think baseball is different for me. And I know for some people, baseball's a non-entity, you know, which makes me sad. I mean, it makes me sad that baseball, I think if you're of my age, of my generation, you remember when baseball really was still kind of, the argument was what's more important, you know, baseball or football. And,
right.
And now it's there's no contest now. But I think it just has to do probably with being a kid. There is something about baseball that I think is a little different than every other sport. I mean, it's the fact if you're really into a team and you have 162 of those games, 3 hours every day, you know what I mean? Like you get a connection to these teams like you can't with those other sports just because there's more time with them.
Maybe every day.
That's part of it. Yeah. You know, but yeah, for whatever reason, I have continued to be very, and I was irrational. I mean, like if you would have seen some of the texts that my brother and I were sharing and my brother, we're all screaming about, oh my God, how the hell is he batting third? Oh my God. Great job batting him third. You know, Wenzel Perez got a huge hit. I mean, he'd been like 0 for his last 20 or whatever, complaining, screaming, yelling at the TV, stuff like that. As any sports fan is listening, knows the feeling at certain times. But yeah, that's, I got one team in the world that's like that for me.
I mean, I was thinking about this when you put this on the grid yesterday. I mean, mine really are two at this point, I think. Like it's Tennessee football and it's Green Bay Packer football. Like, that's what it is. Like, mine's all football right now. Like, I've gone through some stretches, like, back, you know, back when the Heat were in the finals a couple years ago. Like, I'm all in. But, like, I used to be NBA, like, regular season game number 38 on a Tuesday night all in. And I am not that anymore. I'll watch them if, like, the Heat come on and they're playing. But I don't have the same level of connection to it that I used to. It's probably because Dwayne Wade's not there anymore. That was my guy. So, like, Dwayne Wade was my player. So,
right.
Anytime I got the chance to watch him play, I did it. So, that's probably that. But, yeah, like, it, you know, I used to be, there's some people that used to sit in cell block 303 and saw, like, a 13-year-old teenager, Robbie Stanley, screaming at officials that will vouch that he was insane for the Nashville Predators. So, like, I've gone through different stretches in my life. But, like, right now, it's like, the Vols and the Packers. That's about it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing too. For people who, you know, people who are in sports media, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I mean, obviously, I hate the Lions, so that's set that aside. I also covered them some, actually, for the Lansing State Journal in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So when you cover something, and obviously, you know, I mean, I grew up, I love Michigan and Michigan State, but then that becomes your job, and you're just, you know,
it's just different.
You have to detach from it. I mean, I know that there's some folks covering college football who don't.
Oh yeah.
Yes, there are.
No doubt about that, but to me, it's like I don't. It's hard to wrap my head around that. It's like once you start having to do it for your job, you know, it's just a totally different deal. And baseball. Now, I did in 2012 in the World Series. They threw at the Detroit Free Press. They threw me on the World Series coverage team, so I had to go. Actually, I had to like go interview Anibal Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
After they lost to the Giants, about whether he's going to come back to the Tigers. That was, you know. So, like, I guess
please come back, Anibal.
Yeah, exactly. Please, are you? I mean, so I'm sitting there in that press box having to, like, be professional as the Tigers completely crumble and get swept. And I'm sitting next to Mitch Albom and, you know, having to be, you know, Mr. Professional. But that's the only real time I've ever had to do that. Other than that, it's always been fandom, you know?
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. That's where we're starting today. What sports team make you irrational, and why do they make you irrational? Coming up later this hour, what is more surprising, Vanderbilt and their start to the season, or Joey Aguilar and Tennessee's offense? We'll get into all that. The Rex Rant later in the program. Teron Davenport will join us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Throwing it out there, which sports teams make you irrational and why? Ian, you got any sports teams that just drive you nuts?
You know what? Not so much anymore. No. Early on, it was definitely I was a big Knicks fan. Big New York Knicks fan. My dad's from New York, so I lived there for a couple of years before moving here. So I was a big Knicks fan growing up in the 90s, when the glory days, of course, of the NBA. I was, you know. But then kind of became a Preds fan for a hot minute. We had season tickets the first year they came. I was in high school. So we had season tickets for a good little while. But not so much anymore, man. I've never had a team that I've really carried or like cared for or loved win a championship. And so I don't know.
So
I guess
cursed.
That's gone. Yep.
Ian's been cursed.
I'll never experience that, I don't think, at this point, given the lack of true passion I have for sports teams anymore and true fandom. You know, you guys mentioned it, but once you're in this kind of business for a little while, that it starts to erode, and it's hard to find,
yeah,
especially with the local teams, you know? And, you know, I've been here since 1997 already, so it's hard to just become a fan of other teams at this point.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm pretty much donezo.
That's depressing. But, yes. But no, but I get it. And then, yep, I think that is, for me, like, that's why I hold on to the Tigers.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, because it is good to, like, you know, if anybody's seen the video of Robbie when Tennessee beat Bama, like, that's awesome. You know, like, that's great to be able to have that, which of course was the follow up to many, many opposite moments.
Oh yeah.
On the third. Many. Saturday in October, you know, so like that's it's good to have stuff like that. But yeah, it definitely is harder in this. Brian on the text line says, there's a time my wife refused to watch the Titans games with me because I'd get so erratic over the games, good or bad. Now we just sit in silence and disbelief. He also says, I'm with you, Joe, which I miss baseball being one of the top dogs like it was back in the 90s. Yeah, back in the 90s, back in the 1890s, back in, you know, you got to be a certain age, but yeah. It's like, I mean, 100 years ago, we had baseball, college football, horse racing, and boxing.
Yeah. And horse racing, good back then, man. Really good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I guess some golf, too.
Of course. You always got to throw the golf in there. Like, my buddy just texted me, and he's like, well,
Unfortunately, I am still extremely passionate about the Tennessee Titans, and I wonder if that sickness is ever going to leave me. And I was like, well, I don't know. They're going to win again at some point, Joe. At some point, Titans will be good again. So just hang in there, Titans fans.
I mean, listen, they really will. I mean, even I understand right now we're in this situation where it's like, okay, this is one of the bad organizations. I mean, it's hard, like, objectively. Like, I think you're being intellectually dishonest if you don't start to go there,
yeah.
Right? But even those, which, again, the Lions, great example, the Browns, the Cardinals, you know, whatever. I mean, right now, you know, I know the Panthers are in that where it's like everybody would just please sell the team, David Tepper. Even those teams, this league is designed to not allow you to screw it up forever. So all the people who are hanging here and talking about the Titans and suffering through it every Sunday, it will be that much sweeter when it turns. When that is, I cannot tell you.
I don't have a date in mind.
That kind of is like that's the reward of fandom, you know, if you actually stick it out.
Predemption on the YouTube chat says, are they, Robbie? Are they going to win again? I think so, at some point. At some point, they will win. Here's this, Joe. Some point, they're going to win, like, multiple games in a row. That will happen at some point. It may be 2029, but it will happen at some point.
When's the last time that did happen? I don't know. 2022 at some point? Is that?
I mean,
Probably.
Maybe. They may have rolled off a couple in a row.
Two in a row. 2023.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's been a while, man. It has been a long time. I know they didn't do it last year. So, I mean, even that by itself is a long time. Like, you at some point in an NFL season should win a couple games in a row.
No, not in 2023 either.
Okay, so it's been since 2022. I would assume they did it at some point in 2022. So before the collapse at the end of the year.
Yeah, so essentially, before Amy Adams Strong decided to fire John Robinson in season.
Yeah, I had a good stretch in 2022. Week 3, 4, 5, 6.
Winning all sorts of games.
That was a bye week in 6, 7, 8. So that was 5 wins in a row. Then an overtime loss to Kansas City. And then 2 more wins. And then the straight L's. So they're 7-3.
I mean, 2 weeks before she fired John Robinson, I'm in Robbie's favorite stadium talking to, like, Kevin Byard after they beat the Packers about how this is a, you know, this team can win a championship.
Yeah.
Now, they lost to the Bengals in a close game. And then the Eagles smoked them on a bad day and all the A.J. Brown stuff. But, like, seriously, that was the conversation about that team before the GM got fired in season.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
Well, we mentioned, like, the payoff. Like, if you're a Titans fan going through the mud right now with this franchise. Like, I think about this weekend, and we're going to get into this matchup a little bit later in the show. But, like, the Vanderbilt football fan, particularly, like, the Vanderbilt football fan that's just been trotting out there over on West End for years and years, just watching your team get your head beat in conference play, and to sit through that and to then have a moment like this weekend. Well, I mean, even a moment like last year, right? Like, you're paid off with the Alabama win at home, but to set up this weekend where you've got an undefeated Vanderbilt, Alabama on the road, and College game day is in Tuscaloosa. Like, it just to sit through all of that, like, think back to, you know, not to throw shade at Derek Mason, but like the end of the Derek Mason tenure at Vanderbilt and how bad it was, and the very beginning of Clark Lee's tenure and how bad it was. And there have been different kind of examples and time periods for Vanderbilt fans that you can point to. But sitting through that and then thinking about how different it feels right now heading into this weekend.
No question. Got an incredible example. And look, I know some locals who are lifetime Vanderbilt fans, and you know, a lot of it is like you have to have a sense of humor, right?
Yes.
No, but I mean, those, I don't know that it's a huge number of people who have stuck it out through all this, but yeah, they absolutely deserve stuff like this. Dan Wolkin had a good piece about Vandy at Yahoo. And talking about, you know, because he was, of course, a student. You know, he was a student at Vanderbilt.
Friend of the show.
I was like, yeah, that's right, friend of the show, Dan Wolkin. Best friend of Robbie Stanley. Best friend of Vols fans.
Oh, yes.
But he, you know, talking about how it was like going to the game, like tour guides on campus like student tour guides would like make fun of the football team, you know, like going to games as a student was like, you were doing it just like ironically, you weren't like serious, you know, like
community
just,
service.
Yeah. I mean, right. And then to see it now, I mean, even like talking to Barton Sims this week, he's like, you know, that win over Florida a few, like, what was that? Three years ago.
Yeah.
The win over Florida, they beat. Yeah. And he's like, you know, it's like, they got fined for a field rushing, but it was like a handful of students, single file, came down to high five them, you know? And he's like, then you look at last year, Alabama, when, I mean, who really thought they were going to beat Alabama that day? I mean, no one.
Yeah.
But the student section was packed. It was crazy. And it was a real field rushing with a goal. And it's like, that right there is, you know, the difference too. But yeah, the people who have been there through the whole thing, man, that's one of the all time, like, you know, loyal fan stories that deserves what they're getting now.
Well, speaking of Vanderbilt, I want to throw this question Joe's way. I want to throw this question everybody's way. What has been more surprising to begin the season? Has it been the start for Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia, undefeated at 5-0 heading into Alabama, or Tennessee's offense looking as good as it has with Joey Aguilar coming in basically in May? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. If you're wondering where to go watch some NFL games this Sunday, come on down to Twin Peaks in Madison, home of the 29 Degree Beer, and join 1025 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Cardinals. Pregame show brought to you by Old National Bank and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. So, Joe, I want to throw this question your way. What has been more surprising to you to begin the college football season? Is it Vanderbilt's 5-0 start? You got Diego Pavia in the very early Heisman Trophy conversation, and there's obviously a huge game that we'll get to coming up this weekend against Alabama. I mean, I think a lot of people around the country, deservedly so, are stunned by what Vanderbilt has done to this point. And then on the other side, you've got Tennessee, who was the story of the offseason in college football when Nico Iamaliava bolted for UCLA. They bring in Joey Aguilar, and basically their offense heading into the year for most people was an afterthought. It was like, well, they're going to be in big trouble with Joey Aguilar as their starting quarterback, and they're going to take a significant step back. And through five games, he's thrown for almost 1,500 yards, almost 300 yards a game, 13 touchdown passes, five interceptions, was like a play away from beating the Georgia Bulldogs. Tennessee sits at 4-1, has one of the best offenses in the country. And I would assume, Joe, like if you were putting together a Biletnikoff award watch list, it probably wouldn't take very long before you got to Chris Brazzle to this point in the season. So I think both pretty stunning in their own right. Which one more surprising to you? Vanderbilt's 5-0 start, or how Tennessee has looked with their offense with Joey Aguilar getting there basically in May to be the quarterback?
I'd actually say Tennessee. Now, I guess if you just asked this question and just without knowing what was going on and just said Vanderbilt 5-0, you know, and you say, you know, Tennessee is 4-1 right now, then I might say Vanderbilt,
yeah,
because I didn't think they'd be 5-0. But I did think they'd be really good. I thought they'd be really good on offense. And I didn't think like Virginia Tech or South Carolina were impossible, you know? And to me, I had real concern. So yeah, Vanderbilt's definitely better, and it's still a surprise. Didn't think they'd be 5-0 on game day going to Bama. But I really had concerns for Tennessee. I mean, I'm the genius who said, yeah, I got Merklinger starting, even though they just picked up this Aguilar. I mean, you know, he led the nation in picks last year. I don't know how much Appalachian State football you watched last year. I didn't watch much.
Not much.
But, you know, it's like you look at his history, and it's like great job getting to that point, to the point where you can get to App State, and then you can get a shot at, granted, a total cheeks program, but still, Power 4 program. But when the Vols, you know, and we know the Vols were all over the place with all these different quarterbacks, Altmyer, and who have we figured out? Altmyer,
I think they took a look at Avery Johnson for sure. Yeah.
I think there's a few. Couple others. Yeah. I mean, he was down the list, and it was kind of like, okay, I guess we'll take the freaking UCLA guy, and look at what he's done. So, I mean, like, the way he's played, he's a legit good quarterback. I think he fits perfectly in this offense. And also the receivers that we were so worried about. Like you said, Brazel is one of the best receivers in the country, and it hasn't been perfect. I mean, you know, Staley had a tough time for a lot of that Mississippi State game, but like, they're good. That offense is the best it's been since they were unbelievable in 2022. So yeah, I got to give that the edge over Vanderbilt.
This is really hard for me because, like, I think both are pretty surprising. Like, Tennessee, I said this heading into the year. Tennessee, I think, under Heupel, has reached a point where they've got a baseline of talent. Like, even with all the questions we had about quarterback in the offense, what did I say heading into the year? I was like, you know, you line up their schedule on paper, and they're probably going to be favored in 9 of their 12 games. And that was taken into account Georgia, Alabama, and at the time, Florida. We'll see what that looks like as time moves on here. But, you know, I think there's a baseline of talent that Tennessee will have now under Josh Heupel because of the job that they've done recruiting, NIL, and all those things. So, to your point, like, Tennessee being 4-1 doesn't surprise me at all. It's exactly where I think I and everybody else had them, right? Like, everybody had them losing to Georgia, and I don't think anybody else had them losing any of those other games. So, I'm not surprised Tennessee is 4-1. I am surprised that Vanderbilt's 5-0. Like, and you know, they had a heck of a start last year, and obviously the Alabama game, and you know, Pavia got hurt as the year went on, and I think limited the effectiveness of the offense. But we saw glimpses of it last year, right? Like, when Pavia was healthy, especially, you could see how dangerous the Vanderbilt team was. I did not expect a 5-0 start. You know, the one win that has just floored me so far, and I know that Sellers got hurt in the game, was South Carolina. But Joe, it's not even really that they've started 5-0, it's how they've looked doing it. They have been dominant. Like, they have dominated all of these teams. And I know they struggled in the first half for a little while against Virginia Tech, and then they came out and put together, I don't think it's hyperbole to say, one of the best halves in the history of Vanderbilt football against Virginia Tech to start that, or to finish that game out. So, to me, it's not only the 5-0 start, it's how dominant they've looked while doing it that I will give the slight edge to Vanderbilt. I think both are very surprising when you factor in the Tennessee offense. But Vanderbilt has absolutely destroyed most people they've played so far. I know they played with their food a little bit for a while against Utah State, but, I mean, they ended up, and there was never a doubt as to who was going to win that game between Vanderbilt and Utah State. They have mopped the floor with everyone to this point.
Yeah, and, you know, it's – so, obviously, Trey Richardson is one of the – you know, pick up from – I mean, my gosh, I can't remember off the top of my head where he's – what school he's from, but it's like, yeah, no idea with that guy. They made some ads. I think the big thing, you know, a tackle from South Dakota and one from Arizona, and it is a difference, man. It's a huge difference up front. They just look like – and we're going to find out because, obviously – but I think we did find out some in the South Carolina game. And you're playing against that is a defense with talent, with absolute talent. No question about it, SEC talent. And just really toyed with them all night on offense. So, yeah, that I agree. That to me was like, you know, like YouTube chatter says, South Carolina has sucked so far this season, though Virginia Tech sucks. Yes, I understand that. But Virginia Tech did just beat NC State, whatever that means. The ACC is a mess. But they also got maybe the coach bump. They got their coach fired. Still, like, that, you know, negative yardage in a half for a Power 5 team with some talent in its own, you know, in its own stadium. And then, again, South Carolina losing the quarterback. South Carolina, you know, they blew out Kentucky last week. They're obviously not going to have the kind of season that people thought. I think Illinois is in the same boat. I think both of them are going to end up being overhyped, and I kind of thought that might be true of both of them. But they're also not like that. Like, I think they're going to be a winning team, and they have talent, so I don't discount it, you know. But yeah, I go the Tennessee way because I was like, I thought this might be a step backward on offense, and it's been a step backward. And instead, it's this huge, like, oh, my gosh, look at this offense. It can work. And it's like, how did these pieces bring that about, this desperate situation scouring the country for a quarterback, plus just so many questions. Of, I mean, Mike Matthews was going to get in the portal, and it's like, is he good? And it, all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, here they are. They're back to going super fast, and they can put 40 on anybody.
Well, it, you know, it is amazing when you think about just the expectations heading into the year from the quarterback position. Like, Hendon Hooker leaves, and it was like, well, Joe Milton could throw the ball 95 yards in the air. They're going to be just airing it out all year long. And the offense was not great that year. They could run the ball. Like, they've always been able to run the ball. But the passing offense, I think, left a lot to be desired that year. Nico Iamaliava comes in. Five-star. I mean, everybody was excited, thought that he was going to be the guy that led them to the promised land. He did lead them to the college football playoff, but like Dylan Sampson, a huge part of that. Like, the passing offense, I think, left a lot to be desired. And for this to be the offense that looks the most like 2022, it's probably not 2022, but it looks the most like it, is kind of incredible when you really think about it. Like, just the Aguilar got here in basically May. Brazel looks like a completely different person than he was a year ago. And I know some people will say, well, that's just because, you know, the quarterback's not overthrowing him every play. I don't think it's that. Like, I think he's gotten a lot better, a whole lot better from last year to this year. And, like, this is, I mean, their receiving core right now, Joe, I don't think it's any question about it. Their receiving core is in as good of a spot as they've been in since certainly Hyatt and Tillman were on the field together.
No question. Yeah. And so it's just, I mean, I think it's definitely like a validation of, because anytime the last couple of years, I never really bought it. Cause to me, it's like, you know, the offense works if you execute it, but there was definitely some people have figured out this offense. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's it. You know, Milton, again, the offense and the NFL stuff, that's a separate thing. The offense being able to work in college, you know, it still does. Now, can you win it all? You know, there's another, you know, we'll see. We'll see if a team can, with this offense, win it all. You know, but that Milton year, that wasn't, you know, we weren't shocked by that because it was like, yes, he can throw it a mile, but, you know, there are questions about him. That's why he lost the job in the first place. But last year, certainly, especially early, which I had forgotten, but like whenever they put 60-some on some, Nico made a couple throws, you're like, oh, my gosh, okay, here it is. It was a one-year dip. So then when it becomes another year of like really just leaning on the D in the running game, yeah, it's just the idea that all of a sudden you'd have it right back this year. I expected a third year of that, and it's like it's almost like the identity of the program is changing. But no, it's not. they can light it up again, which is exciting. Of course, you also, for both of these teams, you know, both of these quarterbacks are going to be gone next year.
So let's take your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. What has been more surprising to start the college football season? Has it been Vanderbilt's 5-0 start, undefeated heading into Alabama, or Joey Aguilar and the way that Tennessee's offense has looked? 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What has been more surprising to begin the college football season? Vanderbilt's 5-0 start, undefeated heading into Alabama, or Tennessee's offense and how good they've looked with Joey Aguilar coming in? Joe has voted Tennessee. I'm giving the slight edge to Vanderbilt with the surprise level to begin the college football season. Now, I will say this, Joe. If Vanderbilt turns 5-0 into 6-0, then I think that the answer probably shifts for everybody at that point.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not close at that point. It's yeah. Hey, can I do something real quick just to respond to Brett on the text line?
Sure.
By WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. He said, when did Carson become Edith Bunker? And I'm like, you know, he has been. So Brett's offering is $50 to Carson's favorite charity if I just do this real quick. Let's see. Okay, ready? Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
There you go. $50, Kaharski. Use it well. Thank you, Brett.
It's beautiful. Well done.
It's all in the family, by the way. For anybody who doesn't know him.
My husband, Archie Bunker.
There we go, baby.
Similarities are uncanny. Just uncanny out there. Absolutely beautiful. Well, on that note, we'll continue the discussion.
Sorry.
No,
back to the discussion.
It was well worth it. It was well worth it on the program. Like I said, if Vanderbilt makes 5-0, 6-0, then I think the answer shifts to that point. One thing that's going to be really interesting to watch from here, because I do think, and you can hear it in Josh Heupel's voice after the game and earlier this week in the press conference, I don't think he's very happy with the offense on Saturday against Mississippi State. Now, they had, you know, obviously some big drives and big moments. Like, I thought Aguilar was really good on the drive to go down and tie the game. And then you score on the first play in overtime, so you feel good about that part of it. But, you know, I think he feels like they left a lot of things out there against Mississippi State. As the season goes on, does the offense continue to be productive from this standpoint? Like, they have basically, Joe, already gotten into the mold where it's three wide receivers and no one else. Like, that game against Mississippi State, it was Mike Matthews, Braylon Staley, Chris Brazel. That's basically it. There wasn't nobody else playing. And, you know, they've got some injuries right now at tight end. So it was basically Miles Kitzelman the whole time until the very last drive where they put, a two tight end set in there and ran the ball. So with that in mind, it's their bye week now. We'll see how healthy they are coming out of it and if Ethan Davis gets back in there and all that stuff. But they're about to go through a pretty long grind here. Can they keep those three wide receivers healthy? Because at some point along the way in every season, they've had some injuries at wide receiver that they've had to battle through. They have not yet to this point. And those three guys, I think, are playing really well. So when they're healthy, they should be the ones out there. But I wonder how much they can hold up playing the way that they play moving forward.
It's a great question. What are the next three? Who are the next three?
Well, I mean, they're all freshmen, basically.
Yeah.
And there's Amari Jefferson floating around there somewhere.
Any idea, if there was a serious injury, how they would deal with it?
No, I don't.
It's not ideal. I mean, it is exactly what happens in terms of they talk about all these different guys. And again, they've had some guys before who were young, who weren't ready, who were talented, who were seeing at other places. You can see they can play, right? And maybe, you know, some of them played a little bit, but didn't get enough so they're out of here. I mean, obviously, if you're Josh Heupel, that's the depth you wanted to keep, and that's the competition that you would figured make everybody better. And then you have twos at those positions that you can plug in. But yeah, like, they might be in deep doo doo if they lose one of those guys.
Yeah, like they really like Travis Smith, who's a true freshman at wide receiver. Like, they, you know, he's 6'3", 210. So like, they're from a body type perspective, you know, whether it's him, they got Redarius Jackson. Like, they got some people, some young wide receivers that they feel really good about. But we know this. This is what Heupel does. Like, when they get in the thick of things in conference play, they're playing three. Like, that's what it is. They're going to play three wide receivers. So can those guys stay healthy?
You got to play fast, and everybody's got to be on the same page. And it's not that easy. I mean, that's the thing. In some ways, playing receiver in this offense, even though maybe the route tree, you know, is more simplified from like a pro style offense or whatever, like some of the elements of playing receiver in this offense are more difficult. So, and that's where it's, and look, again, this is a 2025 college football program, but you got those promising players. In some offenses, you can throw in the freshmen and it's fine, but I think it is harder in this offense. And that's where that gap between the promising real young guys and the starters is where you wish you had a guy or two who instead they're starting somewhere else, South Florida or wherever.
Yeah. Joe, I completely realize that there's still a long way left to go in the season. And who knows? Like, Vanderbilt may go out there and just get smoked by Alabama this weekend. But I got a feeling that they're probably going to hang in there and be competitive and be, you know, in the game, late into the game. You know, we'll see how the rest of the schedule goes. We talked about some matchups that they've got coming up and maybe LSU and Texas not looking as strong as we thought heading into the season. So there's still a lot of information left to gather here. But as far as the job done by Clark Lea to this point, how do you kind of put it into scope? Because, like, one of the things that stood out to me when your answer wasn't 5-0 Vanderbilt to start, and I'm not saying you're wrong at all, but I'm just saying what a testament to Clark Lea and the job that he's done, and obviously Diego Pavia, that Vanderbilt's 5-0 And it's not everybody's runaway answer that that's the most shocking thing. Like, I think that kind of tells you what Clark Lee has done.
Yeah. Well, he's done an incredible job, without question, because, look, a year and, 14 months ago, we had segments on the show about, man, I mean, you know, he's got to be real close to being out, right, after that disastrous 23 season, which I know inside the building, to them, that was the best thing that could have happened to them, not getting, you know, not being on the hot seat or whatever, but that kind of showing everybody at Vanderbilt either the money starts coming in hard to be competitive or you have no chance. And so that was the eye opener. Now, Dan Wolkin, negative Nelly that he is, you know, like I said, he wrote a good piece this week. He also pointed out, and I know I've seen plenty of people point out, okay, what happens after Pavia? Is this sustainable after Pavia? And it's a fair question. You've seen it before with other program, kind of upstart programs. You have a great quarterback, and then they leave, and shoot, Kirk Cousins, you know. It was like there was a time of like, okay, is D'Antoni really that good, or was it just that he had Kirk Cousins? And he eventually proved it. But, yeah, it's a fair question. You have to have – because Pavia has been so – I think not just a great player, but also like he just has totally changed the vibe over there, right? Like, like few players I've seen where it's like, and again, it's he just talks more trash than anybody ever, but like they all follow him. Like that is, you're not just losing a guy who runs the offense well and all that stuff. Like you're losing like the heartbeat of the program. So yeah, it's a fair question. Moving forward. Now, one thing is any Vanderbilt fan listening to this right now should be like, shut up. Can we enjoy the moment? And I agree. But when you bring up Clark Lee and the job he's done, it's an incredible job. There will be, you know, okay, who's next? And can you keep this progressing in this league where it's just so hard, so deep, so competitive, to be there. But I think Vanderbilt's in the fight now. Like financially and all the things. And I think Clark is a good coach. He's been a good coach. I mean, Clark Lee, to me, if you look at Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, Clark Lee, you could argue saved Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. So he's been a good football coach. But to turn it here, and there's other things in play. There's Candace Lee and there's Daniel Diemeyer. But to turn it here, I mean – you would think that like National Coach of the Year awards would be on the table for him.
Yeah, you would think so. And again, there's a long way to go in the regular season. I understand that, but it's pretty incredible that they have looked as good as they've looked to begin the season. And we're going to find out a whole lot tomorrow about where exactly they are heading into Tuscaloosa. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get back into the Vanderbilt and Alabama game a little bit later in the program. Coming up next, the Titans do play this weekend against the Arizona Cardinals. And there was a comparison made about a Titan a few months ago that I'd love to revisit with Joe Rexroad now. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.